Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Nun Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin at the Mishnah at the top of Daf Nun Gimel, the Mishnah following the theme of the previous Mishnayos. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Hanoder min hadovar v'yesh motzarim sheyotzer mehem shenoisim shem hamokar. A person vows not to benefit from a type of item, from a food item, and there are products that are made from that item that carry within them the name of the original item. Haim gam heim asurim, are they also prohibited? Kigon hanodim min atmorim. For example, someone vows not to consume dates. Ma dino legabi dvash dvorim. What would the law be regarding date honey? So he vowed not to consume dates. What about date honey? This honey carries with it the name date. So is that included in his vow? The Gemara, or the Mishnah at the top line of Nun Gimel, Hanoider min hatmorim, muter bidvash tmorim. A person who vowed not to partake of dates is allowed to partake of date honey. Misisvonios, a person vowed not to consume sisvonios. Sisvonios are grapes that don't ripen readily. They will stay on the vine throughout the winter, and they're used for making vinegar. So a person vowed not to consume sisvonios. Mutter bechimetz sisvonios. He is allowed to intake vinegar of sisvonios. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Oimer, kol sheshem toldosai kruya alav, anything whose byproduct or processed product carries with it the name of the original item, v'noder hemenu, and he vowed using the original name, prohibiting himself from eating it, osur b'yotze hemenu, he'll be prohibited in benefiting from that, from the derivative as well. All because the derivative carries with it the name of the original item. The Chachamim matirin, the Chachamim say, not so. You are allowed to benefit from the derivative. Now the Chachamim here appear as what seems to be an additional opinion, but is it not so that the Chachamim are saying the same as the Tanakama? The Gemara asks, Chachamim hainu Tanakama, what do we benefit by having the closing phrase Chachamim Matirin in the Mishnah when the Tanakama already said that? So the Gemara answers, Iko binayu hoda detanya. There is a point of difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim, and it will be seen, the point of difference will be seen by learning the following Tanaic source. Klal Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Shimon Elazar presents a rule. Kol shedarkei le'ochel v'derech ayotze mimenu le'ochel. Items that you will eat them, and you will also consume their derivative, their derivatives, products made from them. Kagon, and we give you an example. Kagon tamorim udvash tamorim. Dates. People eat dates. People consume date honey. Nodar boy, person vowed not to consume dates. Osur b'yotze mimenu. They will not be allowed to consume date honey either. Noder miyotze mimenu osur bo. If he vowed not to consume the, we'll say, date honey, he cannot consume dates. We're sticking to the text as is. The Gro comments that the text should be different, but we'll keep it to it, the text as it is. A second point. Kol she'ein darkoi le'ochel v'derech hayotzi mimenu le'ochel. Items that you would not consume the original, but the only the derivative, the byproduct you would consume. No derbo, if a person vowed not to eat the original item, and in this case, that original item is something that is not ordinarily eaten. So you vowed not to eat the original item. Ein osur ela b'yotze mimenu. As a result of that vow, the only thing that you're really prohibited from is the derivative. Your intention in making such a vow was only to prohibit the derivative, that which you would be that which is eaten. At this point, we are to take note of three Tanaic opinions. We have the opening opinion of the Mishnah and then the closing opinion, Chachom HaMatirin. We just pointed out that there is a difference between them. We read a source, but we didn't highlight what the difference is. And then we also have to take note of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. So we will now review the three opinions. Imagine someone swears or he vows not to consume sisvanios. Now, sisvanios are an example of something that itself is not eaten, but its derivative, the chaymet sisvanios, is consumed. So a person vowed not to consume sisvanios. The Tanakama will tell you that you're allowed to consume the chaymet sisvanios, and you cannot consume the sisvanios. The Tanakama is fairly literal in his approach. What you vowed, that and only that is prohibited. The fact that the derivative carries with it a, as part of its name, the original item, that doesn't influence the Tanakama. The Chachomim of the Mishnah, we wanted to find where is there a point of difference between the Tanakama and the Chachomim. The Chachomim adopt Reb Shimon ben Elazar's approach, and that if a person vowed not to consume sisvanios, the result is that only the byproduct is osir. The chometz is osir. The sisvanios themselves are not osir. The Chachomim, which, as we say, is in the opinion of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, there we can say utilitarian. In other words, if you vowed not to consume something that itself is not generally consumed, your intention was simply to prohibit that which you would ordinarily consume. The opinion, the third opinion, not in order of opinions, but he was the middle opinion in the Mishnah, but the additional opinion is that of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. He will tell you that if you vowed not to consume sisvanios, you cannot consume them, nor the chomet sisvanios, nor the byproduct derived from them. So there you have three opinions. You can see clearly a point of difference between the Tanakama and the Chachamim if you focus on that example of someone who vowed not to consume sisvanios. The Mishnah, Hanoder min hayayin, Mutter b'yayin tapuchim. We should glance at the side. We have a topic heading in our marked gemaras. And by the way, if you're interested in accessing marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. On the side of our Mark Gemaras, we include a topic heading, the Nosei, which reads here, Hanoider Midover Mesuyim, a person vowed not to consume a specific item, V'yesh Dvorim Achirim Im Shem Levi, and there are other things that have an accompanying name. Now, to make things more practical, we turn to the Mishnah, Hanoider Min Hayayin, a person vowed not to consume wine, Mutter B'Yayin Tapuchin. He's allowed to drink apple wine. Mina shemen, person vowed not to consume shemen. Mutter b'shemen shum shemen. Shemen implies olive oil, and hence the vow won't include sesame oil. Mina dvash, mutter b'dvash tmar, person vowed not to consume dvash. What does dvash imply in people's minds? Well, it's translated as honey. Let's say bees honey. As a result, his vow does not include dvash tmorim, date honey. Min ha-chometz, mutter b'chometz hisvanios. Person vowed not to consume chometz. Standard chometz, you can see in the Meforshim, is made from good quality grapes. Or, let's say more accurately, from wine that was initially good quality wine, and in the course of time, it fermented. It became fermented in the context of vinegar. Good wine that became vinegar. So when you vowed not to consume chometz, your intention was chometz that resulted from good wine and not vinegar made from sisvonios, which we explained in our previous year, are grapes that don't really, let's say, ripen in the normal way. They stay on the vine throughout the winter. So they're, let's say, poor quality grapes from which, in fact, vinegar is made. But the vow not to partake of vinegar is a reference to, in people's minds, vinegar that comes from, whose origin is good quality wine. Mina kreshin mutter bekaflotos. Here we want to run into one of our difficulties when concerning Gemara markings and the issue of translating animals and plants that we don't have necessarily a very solid tradition on what they are. So we're just going to have to mention that the creation, kaflutos, there are different types of vegetation. So if one vowed not to consume creation, he is allowed to consume kaflutos. Even though kaflutos are a type of creation, they aren't called creation. Mina yerek mutter biyarkos hasode shehu shem levi. A person vowed not to consume yerek. Yerek is often translated as vegetables, but they are vegetables that one cultivates in a garden. As opposed to yerek hasode, these are vegetables that grow in fields, implying possibly that they are they're vegetables that grow in the wild, that they're not necessarily cultivated. The Ran makes reference to Yerokos Hasode as a different variety of vegetables than those that are cultivated in gardens. We turn back to the text. The last point that was mentioned, that a person who vowed not to consume yerek, he's allowed to consume yarkos hasode shu shem levi. It's not called yerek, it's called yarkos hasode. It's a compound or a hyphenated name. The topic heading on the side of the Gemara, the Nosei, reads, Hanoder min ha-shemen, person who vows not to consume oil, be'ezah shemen esar, le'ezah hitkaven, talui al mekoymoy shel noder, which the oil that would be prohibited in a vow not to consume oil is really dependent on where he lives, where the noder lives. The Gemara, Tanya, hanoder min hashemen, one who vows to abstain from oil. Be'eretz Yisrael, mutter b'shemen shumshen v'osur b'shemen zayas. If he is one who lives in Israel, so he is allowed to consume sesame oil, but not olive oil. So that the term oil in Israel implies olive oil. U'bebavel, you'll find in Babylonia the opposite. Osur b'shemen shumshemin. Their common oil was sesame oil. V'mutter b'shemen zayis. Shemen zayis was not common or was not found in Bovel. Mokim shemistapkin mizeh mizeh, a place in which both are found. Osur bozeh u'bozeh. So by saying I vow to abstain from oil, you're including both. Moshe says, Pshita, regarding this last point, is that not obvious? Lo, tzricha, no, it needs to be spelled out, the rubo min chad mistapkin, that in the location of the third point of the source, the gimel point in that Tanaic source, is a place where the majority of people use one of the two kinds of oil. Mao dutemo, you might have thought, ezel basa rubo, simply follow the majority. A person vowed not to consume shemen. In order to define shemen in such a place, go according to the majority. Komash malon, what the source teaches us is sofek isura l'chumra. When you have a doubt concerning the realm of isur v'heter, the realm of items that are prohibited versus not prohibited in a ritual or religious context, you have to adopt the more restrictive approach. And therefore, even though the majority use one kind of oil, there are a minority of people that use the other, and maybe that was his intention. So both become prohibited. Hanoder min hayerek, a person vowed not to consume yerek, vegetables. In this section of Gemara, you'll see several categories, and on the side of the Gemara we have a nosei, a topic heading. Hanodim min hayerek yav shelgina shel sadeh, areas cultivated, those cultivated in gardens versus those that grow without cultivation in fields, and time periods. You have b'shvius and b'shar hashanim. We'll make reference to the Shemitah year versus the other 6 years of a sabbatical cycle. A Shemitah year is characterized by the Torah prohibition of engaging in agricultural activity, in cultivation of plants. So we have a Tanaic source which begins, Hanodir min hayerek, one who vowed not to partake of yerek. B'shar shnei shavua, during the, let us say the vow was made during the 6 years of the sabbatical cycle during which a person is allowed to cultivate things, and he vowed not to partake of yerek, what does his vow refer to? Osur b'yarkas hagina, umutur b'yarkas hasadeh. He is restricting himself from vegetables cultivated in gardens. His vow does not include the wild growing vegetables found in fields. Uvishvias, if he vowed not to consume yerek during the Shemitah year, during the year in which things are not cultivated. So what was on his mind when he said, I'm not going to partake of yerek? Osur b'yarkas hasadeh, he is prohibiting himself from the wild growing yerokos that don't need to be cultivated. Umutur b'yarkas hagina, he is allowed to consume yarkas hagina, that meaning that wasn't on his mind when he made the vow. We mentioned before, and you can see again in this case, you can see in the Ran commentary, at the very end of the Ran commentary, that yet the vare there kasuda sheula meilov. This kind of, these are vegetables that grow on their own. So during the Shemitah year, it's only that kind of yarek that he would have had in mind. The other kind, the yarkus hagina, aren't found to begin with. Om Rabbi Vo Mishum Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Loishanu, the teaching of this source, that on Shemitah, one who vowed not to consume Yerek is allowed to consume Yarkus Gina. This is true, Elo v'mokayim she'ein mevi'in Yerek michutzar s'loretz. It's true in places that there's no import of cultivated vegetables imported from outside Israel, where, of course, one is allowed to cultivate during the Shemitah. Shemitah restrictions apply only to the land of Israel. So in a place that there's no import of cultivated vegetables, we will tell you that if he vowed during the Shemitah year not to consume, he vowed during that year, he says he's not going to consume yarekos, he is allowed to consume yarkus gina. Avo b'mokim shevi'in yarek michutz la'aretz, lo aretz osur. But in a place that there are imported cultivated vegetables, and it's the Shemitah year, and he is standing in Eretz Yisrael and says he's abstaining from Yerek, or he's vowing not to consume Yerek, not only will Yarkus HaSodeh be prohibited, but Yarkus HaGina also, and that will cover those vegetables that are imported. Ketanoi. The issue concerning importing vegetables to begin with is a machlokas tanoim. The source says, "Ein mevi'in yerek min chutza la'aretz la'aretz." One is not to import vegetables to begin with. Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel loimir mevi'in yerek michutza la'aretz la'aretz. And it's interesting to note the opinion that allows the importation of vegetables is Rabbi Chanan Gamliel. This was the name Rabbi Avo cited at the bottom of Omid Aleph, giving way to the possibility of vegetables in fact being imported. According to that particular shita, Rabbi Chanino ben Gamliel, I'm making an assumption that even in this source you see the name presented as Chananyo ben Gamliel, but they're one and the same. So we would see consistency in opinion. My taimo deman d'omar ein mevi'im. What is the reason for the Tanakama that says one is not to import vegetables, cultivated vegetables from outside the land of Israel? Omar Rabbi Imyo mishum gush. Gush means clumps of earth. The Rashi on the fourth line from the top says, "Mishum gush shemo yesh me'ofer chutz la'aretz bikrayu." There might cling unto the roots of vegetables that one imports clods of dirt from outside the land of Israel. V'tomei mishum sofek mace. There is a general, ruling concerning areas outside the land of Israel. The land outside of Israel is ruled as being defiled, as being tomei, and that stems from a concern that the idol worshippers don't bury all of their dead in formal cemeteries, but possibly wherever. So that because of, we'll say, the lack of diligence with regard to the treatment of the dead on the part of the idol worshippers outside the land of Israel, so all of the area outside the land of Israel is viewed as tomei mace. So that being the case, the Tanakama holds one is not to import vegetables because the vegetables imported might contain clods of dirt upon which the previous mentioned ruling applies, namely Tumas Mace. And we don't want to we don't want to bring into the land of Israel additional sources of defilement. The Gemara continues with the new Mishnah. Min ha-kruv, a person vowed not to partake of, not to eat kruv. Kruv is a type of vegetation, and in vowing not to partake of kruv, also asparagus. Sounds very much like a word you use in English, a reference to a particular vegetable. As we mentioned earlier, we cannot guarantee that the English word that sounds like this is in fact what the Mishnah is referring to. For our purposes, though, asparagus is a type of kruv. Therefore, when you vowed not to consume kruv, you are thereby prohibiting asparagus as well. Min asparagus, if a person vowed not to partake of asparagus, mutter bekruv, a person is allowed to partake of other kinds of kruv. Kruv is not a subcategory of asparagus. The opposite may be true, but not that kruv is a subcategory of asparagus. Therefore, if you vow not to consume asparagus, other kinds of kruv will be allowed. Mina grisin, also be mikpa, a person vowed not to consume grisin. Again, we run into the translation problem. What are grisin? So we're going to, we'll say, risk it and say grisin is a type of bean. Someone who vowed not to partake of grisin, oser b'mikpeh. Mikpeh is a, literally, it's a congealed dish, but it's a type of, I don't know if it's accurate to say a porridge, but it's made from grisin. So that one who vowed not to consume grisin cannot consume mikpeh. The Rosh, toward the end of the Rosh commentary, about five lines up from the end, he says, Min ha-grisin osur b'mikpeh filu kinosnon b'mikpeh, even when the grisin are made into or put into the mikpeh, adayin shein grisin aleihem. The name grisin remains, is still attached to it. Now, Rabbi Yossi matir. Rabbi Yossi says, if you vowed not to consume grisin, you are allowed to consume mikpeh. Mina mikpeh, one who vowed not to consume mikpeh, mutter begrisin. Min ha-mikpeh, if a person vowed not to consume mikpeh, asur b'shum, he cannot consume shum. Shum is often translated as garlic, and garlic was something that was always added to mikpeh. So if a person vowed not to consume mikpeh, he is prohibiting himself from shum as well. Rabbi Yossi matir. Min ha-shum, a person vowed not to consume shum, mutter b'mikpeh. Shum does not include mikveh. Mikveh, as we saw the Tanakhama will tell you, will include shum, but not the other way around. Min hu adoshim, osur ba'ashishim, Rabbi Yossi matir. This is something that we've seen before. One who vowed not to consume adoshim, so according to the Tanakhama, he's not allowed to consume cakes that are made that in which you find adoshim flour. And Rabbi Yossi says the vow not to consume adoshim does not include ashishim. Min ho ashishim mutar b'ashishim, one who vowed not to consume ashishim, which is a reference to the cakes that are made using adoshim flour, is nevertheless mutar b'adoshim, can consume the original adoshim. Chito chitim she'ani toyem, if a person made a vow like that, you see the chita in the singular form, chitin in the plural form, that he's not going to consume. Osir bohen, bein kemach, bein apas. He cannot consume wheat flour, nor wheat bread. Gris, gris, and shani toyim. If a person vowed like that, focusing on gris in the singular and the plural, osir bohen, bein chayin bein mevushalmi, cannot eat grisin, whether they're raw or cooked. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, koinin gris o chito shani toyim. If a person makes a vow using the term gris or chita, which are both in the singular, mutter lochus chayim. He's allowed to chew them raw. In other words, by saying gris or chita, that implies some food that has been cooked from them. Tanya, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, chita shani toyim, osur lefos umutter lochus. Referring to chita in the singular, and using that as his vowel, he cannot consume the baked wheat that's baked into some type of cake, a baked good made from wheat, but eating lochus is to chew it raw. That is allowed. If he says chitim shani toyim, osur lochus umutter lefos, a reference to chitim in the plural, that will prohibit him from chewing raw wheat grains, but allowing him to consume something baked. Chita, chitim, shani toim. Here he uses both terms, the singular and the plural. Osir, bein lochus, bein levos. So that will prohibit him from both eating the raw, the lochus, chewing on the raw grains, and consuming baked goods made from the wheat flour. So that was section one of the source, focusing on wheat, in the singular and the plural, and what effects that has on the vowel. And now we focus in a similar way, using Greece as the focus of our attention. As we said, we didn't commit ourselves to a translation of Greece. It might be a reference to a type of bean. So he says, Greece shani toyem, osu levashi lemutu lochus. He is prohibiting himself from cooked greasin, but allowing himself, the vowel does not prohibit him from chewing raw greasin. Greasin shani toim, here he uses it in the plural, osur lochus umuter levashel. Greasin shani toim, osur bein levashel bein lochus. Naturally, by using in your vowel the singular and the plural, you are prohibiting yourself, whether it's from consuming the cooked form or chewing the raw form. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.